All right, Kevin Barker, do you remember a time?
Gosh, I mean, it seems like it was two decades ago or a decade ago where we actually thought the Toronto Blue Jays might be good enough to be a postseason team. And then you see them against the Philadelphia Phillies, one of the best teams in baseball right now, 26-11. I mean, throw them up at the top with whoever you want. And, you know, a lot happened tonight. Six extra base hits for the Phillies. The Grand Slam, Jose Berrios gave up one more earned run tonight than in the seven previous starts this year. A lot of stuff happened. But bottom line, Kevin, when you see the Jays against one of the elite teams, you just realize how far away this team is from, you know, like I said, a couple of years ago, we were saying, well, maybe the Jays had a shot at the World Series. Not just us, a lot of people mm-hmm. had them up there. They have fallen so far, so fast. It's almost breathtaking.
Yeah, right now they're one of the worst teams in baseball. I mean, we can not say it any other way. I think with the at-bats that you're seeing that are non-competitive, that quite frankly some guys who have, you know, 10 years in the big leagues look like me at the plate. That it's ridiculous. And Berrios gave up some you know, hard hit baseballs, and the slurve I don't think was working the way you wanted it to work. But man, when Jeff, this is why you add balance, and this is why all the time I tell you that give the guy on the mound a chance to throw one down the middle. And that is exactly, when you're watching the Phillies lineup, is exactly what I'm talking about every single day. You got to let him. Like, you know, he's going to make good quality pitches. He's a really good pitcher. Sooner or later, because he's a human being, he's going to throw one down the middle. And just trying to go fastball away, trying to tunnel the changeup off of that, trying to go backdoor with the breaking ball to lefties, trying to backfoot that thing. Then you got to face righties. So you're going other side, that's glove side. Like, to be able to have to locate multiple pitches, changing speeds, both sides of the plate, you know, and you got a lineup who's just basically balled into, yeah, I'll give you that one, but when you miss, I'm going to make you pay for it, and that's sort of what it is. But for me, look, how many more times have we got to have the conversation about George Springer? Jeff, you look at the third inning, okay? The third inning when IKF gets the single – on the sinker. Kiermaier sees four pitches on a four-pitch walk. Springer sees a first-pitch slider that's non-competitive, that's not even close. So now he's got first and second. The dude on the mound has thrown five non-competitive pitches, and then you swing at a pitcher's pitch down and away to hit into a double play. Don't you start after having a conversation? Call the guy in your office and go, hey, what are you thinking? Like, what are you doing in those at-bats? And then the fifth inning rolls around. Again, when your pitcher on the mound just giving up five runs the inning before, the first two dudes in front of you have seen five pitches. Actually, they'd seen six, but one of them was a pitch count violation. So you get right. Two outs on five pitches, and then you come up and swing at a first-pitch slider that's a pitcher's pitch and ground out. What are we doing, Jeff? Does that look like a 10-year veteran to you?
No.
I just don't understand it. Sooner or later,
again,
something's got to give there. Really,
well,
does.
I mean, you know, I mean, we've talked about this for the last week. George Springer gets a hall pass from a lot of people. I mean, I don't know what it is, but, yeah. For whatever reason, people in that organization are afraid to, I'm not even going to say call out, because I don't think that necessarily works. But for whatever reason, that organization seems married to the idea of George Springer as their leadoff hitter. And I'm beginning to think that, you know, what's the option here? Do you have to take him out of the lineup completely? Is that what you have to do? Never mind dropping it down in the order. Do you just take him out of the lineup
completely? I mean, would the lineup miss it? I mean, you got to ask yourself
would.
That.
I now, mean, you obviously defense would be an issue, but I'm saying
put Kevin Bishop in right.
It seems to me that for whatever reason, people are scared to do anything with George Springer in terms of the lineup. So if that's the case, then just bench his ass. I mean, what's he going to do? You've got, he's under contract for three more years here, or however long it is.
Two more years after this.
2 more years. I shouldn't make it worse than it is. But seriously, 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590, 10-1, the Toronto Blue Jays getting bum-rushed by the Philadelphia
Best team in
Phillies.
Baseball.
Best team in baseball.
There you
go. They are the best team in baseball.
They are.
That lineup just absolutely
wore
down the Blue Jays.
They
do. But, you know, again, you've talked about it, though. The Blue Jays, just some really bad at-bats tonight. I don't, the fifth inning, I can understand. I can understand when you're down, what, at that point, 7-0 or 8-0 or whatever it was. You know, realistically, you are not mounting a comeback if you're the Blue Jays. I get that. But Jesus God, have some pride.
Go down and fight.
Like, have some pride. I don't even know go down fighting, but anyhow. I mean, I know the fans are frustrated. We're frustrated. I've got to think that the folks up top are frustrated, but I don't know. It seems like everything's hunky-dory with this organization right now. I'm sure they can look at the standings as well as the rest of us, but I don't know. Maybe they're seeing some magical underlying numbers that suggest a turnaround is just about around the corner.
There was one positive. Danny Jansen looks unbelievable at the plate. Like, you know, exactly
what he does.
I was talking about today, about get the ball up, hit the ball out in front of your front leg. That's exactly what Danny Jansen did. You got to have a good approach when you get it. Don't miss it. And right now, how's he not hitting cleanup? Why is he hitting sixth? You can explain that to me?
I mean, I don't. Well, I'm sure the computer farted it out. I mean, I don't know. I'm just guessing
right here.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot I don't understand about this lineup, about this team. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Ask you a simple question tonight. I mean, maybe I'm the only one surprised that George Springer's getting a hall pass from everybody here. Does anybody else out there feel that way? Is anybody surprised? Maybe I'm picking on old George. I don't know. I mean, he is not. It's true. He's not the only one. He's not the only one not hitting. You know, we've talked about Bo Bichette, who is mired in the worst funk of his career. And again, Vladdy tonight didn't see much, but we've seen a little bit from Vladdy over the last 8 days that makes me think that he's, at least at this point, probably not the biggest issue facing this team. What did you make of Jose Berríos?
Yeah, look, I think that for me was more about the lineup he was facing than it was about Berríos and, you know, the amount of strike ones he was throwing and where the sinker ended up. I thought the four-seamer was good. I thought the velocity was good. I thought his plan of going away to the lefties, get them looking out there, and then try and spin that thing back foot or, you know, at least if you're going to miss with the spinner, get it in there. I thought the plan of tunneling the changeup off the four-seamer away was a good deal, right? The change of speed, trying to get some weak contact, get them out in front. Like, the plan was good. It was just the lineup he's facing. Good luck right now. Like, they're going to do this to a lot of people.
John and Kitchener, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Blair. Hey, Barker. I don't know. Was it just me or did Schneider get kicked out on purpose today so he didn't have to stay for the rest of the game?
Can you blame him?
No, I really can't.
Yeah.
I watched it to the end just to kind of, you know, bask in the misery a bit, as most Jays fans I'm sure are. But listen, this question's more for Barker here. I just want to know what you're seeing, like, because especially for Springer, like in 2021, I remember his first game he played after the injury and he hit 2 home runs and it was like, wow, we've got a player here. We've got the guy that we've always been looking for, someone to lead the offense. Even in 2022, he was still good, but lately it just seems like he's a totally different guy. And I get that he's a bit older, but there are lots of guys in the majors at his age that are still producing at an elite level. And he looked pretty fleet of foot out there, especially in the outfield, running the bases. It makes me think that it's more between the ears than his physical ability. But this goes back to my question. Barker, what do you see the main differences from Vladdy, Bo, and especially Springer from 2021 up until right now, what we're seeing?
Yeah, thanks for the call, John. Look, those are all, you know, great questions. Those are the million-dollar questions. Look, I think with George Springer, I've talked to a few catchers that's caught behind him. He's got slider bat speed. You know, he's an educated guesser. Sometimes when you're educating guessing and, you know, it doesn't go the way you want it to go, then you start to sort of swing at things that you're not guessing for other pitches, right? If I'm looking, say, middle away for something spinning, and when I'm struggling, I chase the ball in, you know, that snowball tends to go down the mountain, and it's going a little bit faster, you know, I think, than he can control it. And also, I think him coming out of spring training, just like the other two guys, and trying to be aircraft carriers when you're not, trying to go outside the box. I know George Springer said he's going to start pulling more baseballs in the air. We've heard John Snyder, Jeff, come on our show, say the exact same thing. We've heard Bo Bichette saying in certain counts, he's trying to pull the ball in the air, right, trying to change the game that way. And I think all three of these guys feel like if they're not hitting, their team's not winning. That's a lot to ask. It really is. It's a lot to ask guys, right, that are getting a little older, one guy or two guys trying to get paid. I mean, sometimes I think you're just trying to ask three guys to do things you're just not capable of doing.
Russ in New Jersey, you're on Blue Jays Talk. What's up, Russ?
Russ.
Yeah, I just left the game. I'm done. I know I'm going to be a sucker and go back tomorrow, but I'm done. I can't watch this anymore. You know, Ross Atkins, the genius that he is, in the offseason, first of all, you guys said, you know, Danny Jansen, maybe he should be cleanup. Who cares who's in the cleanup? There's nobody on base. There's nobody on base. They can't hit the ball. I called the fifth game of the season. I said, this offense is terrible. I can tell right away. You guys talked about the whole last year. We don't have a cleanup hitter. We don't have a cleanup hitter. We don't have anything this year. You know, Bichette looks like he's in the batting cages. He just swings at the first pitch every time. No plan in any at bat. He looks disinterested in being here. I'll be honest with you. And this team is a terrible team. Ross Atkins in the offseason. Yeah, this team, we still had a hiccup in the offense, but we think the offense, for what? For what? Where are you getting offense from? Yeah, do I think Vladdy Guerrero should have a couple more RBIs? Yeah, is Bichette, but you don't have a good hitting team. Your hitting's terrible. This team, the, you know, nice new stadium, but you know what? There's going to be nobody there in August because the team's going to be 15 games out of under 500 and about 45 games out of first place. It's awful to watch. They have lost. Last year, I don't think they lost. You guys could look this up. More than three series in a row, and I remember all of them, okay? This will be the fifth series, I think, that they haven't won, okay? Mm-hmm. This team is a terrible baseball team.
Oh.
Choice of managers, 65 times. You had Gibbons. You threw him out. You brought your new guy in. Now you have Snyder. It's not the manager's fault. You put a bad baseball team together. Case closed.
All righty. Thank you, man. I mean, I can't. We've talked about this. They're running a big payroll for a team that's got a great whack of holes. Like, I can see having one or two holes, but they got a great whack of holes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, look, the fans aren't stupid. Nope. Fans can see that the team is poorly constructed. Mm-hmm. I think the longer this goes on, I think the more fans are going to start wondering what the long-term vision for this team is. And because at some point people are going to raise the white flag and say this team's not contending this year. And then we're going to start needing to talk about, okay, what's the next step for this team? And I think the first question you have to answer, and I think I know what the answer is today if I put 100 fans in the room, like, who rebuilds this team? Which baseball person rebuilds this team if it needs to be? Do you want Ross Atkins rebuilding your team? I mean, if I can rebuild my team by signing free agents, maybe, but in terms of making trades, is he the guy you want making trades? Based on what? I mean, this is an organization, let's face it, this is an organization that's lived off Vladdy and Bo for the last 5 years.
Yeah,
that's what they've done. They've lived off Vladdy and Bo, and they've signed free agent pitchers. That's basically it. The rest of the time, they filled in here and there. You know, they've had the odd IKF, the Kevin Kiermaiers, the Brandon Belts, this year the Justin Turner. I'm not taking anything away from those guys, but this is an organization that really hasn't done much to address the core of this lineup, basically just counting on Springer, Guerrero, and Bichette to get it done. And they haven't gotten it done for 4 or 5 years. I mean, they just haven't. It's time we see that for what it is. So, yeah, I understand the fans' frustration. And we've talked about it a lot. I have said this, and I get grief for it, and I really don't care. I think, frankly, ownership deserves better than what it's getting right now from this front office. And if that rankles some feathers, I don't really care. I mean, they're paying a lot of money to put this in the field. Yep. They are paying a lot of money. Alex Anthopoulos, J.P. Ricciardi would have crawled across broken glass nude to have this payroll.
Yeah.
Marty in Philly, you're at the game tonight.
Yeah, I was with my dad. Two things. First of all, I mean, it's nice that at least compared to last year, like, the bullpen is melting down with the offense, right? Because, like, at least it's not all these soul-crushing losses, you know, like, they keep it together and, like, they can't score, you know, two runs. And the bullpen's great. At least everyone's sucking at the same time. If they turn it around, they turn it around. But you know, I'm reading Reddit, and everybody's complaining about, you know, the GM and what were they supposed to do in between the seasons? Like, you have to rely on Bo and Vladdy and Springer. What else are you going to do? One cleanup hitter wasn't going to solve this. None of them are hitting. So what would the answer have been?
I don't know if the answer is necessarily this year. I think you can go back to last year. Again, you've got enough money to put a good lineup together. Hey, what is the payroll? $235 million. Mm-hmm. I mean, you should be able to put it. I mean, there are better teams in the field right now making a whole hell of a lot of less money. So, I don't know. But on the other hand, you know what? I'm not paid to be the Blue Jays front office. There's smart people making good money there. They are the ones who are supposed to be making the decisions, for the betterment of the team, for the betterment of the product on the field. We've talked about this. For whatever reason, and leave aside the Shohei Ohtani thing. Just leave Shohei Ohtani aside. That was a business decision. That was a decision that had nothing to do with Ross Atkins. That was basically people way above Ross looking at Shohei Ohtani and saying, man, this is a hell of a business case. And it is. I mean, Shohei Ohtani is, that's not a baseball decision. That's a baseball lifestyle decision, right? That is a decision that has huge implications for your entire ownership, your entire corporation. So leave that aside for a minute. Last year, they tried to foist Brandon Belt on us as a cleanup hitter. Dalton Varsha was a cleanup hitter. This year, the big ad was Justin Turner. And again, I'm not taking anything away from those guys, but, you know, you got to do better than that if you're running this payroll. And more to the point, you've got to make sure that you've got enough in the minor league system that you can trade to make these things. How the hell did the Yankees trade for Juan Soto? It's not like the Yankees are drafting first overall every year, right? San Diego's not drafting first overall every year. They somehow manage to have prospects that they can put together in deals. So it's a many-layered thing. I look at this organization. You know, look at their top prospects. Tiedemann's hurt again. You know, Barriera, what is he? Who knows? Relvis Martinez is having a terrific year, and I can tell right now that people want a Relvis. You know what? I don't want to have a Relvis Martinez anywhere near this steaming pile right now. I'd rather have him stay in Buffalo and do what he's doing. But what the hell? If it floats your boat, bring him up. Because like a lot of people, I'm getting tired of watching this.
Yeah, I think what it – well, I think a lot of it is, too, when you get rid of Teoscar, you get rid of Lourdes, you get rid of Moreno, and you don't bring Chapman back, and then you fill in the blanks of what you filled it in with, right? You had an opportunity if that's the way you wanted to go. And, oh, by the way, you didn't sign Marcus Semien back. You had a window there where you could make your lineup look different. You could sculpt that thing sort of the way you wanted to do it. Did they
do
any
of that?
Did they
do any of that? You had a chance to trade when you had Marcus Semien here. You had a chance to trade to add Raisel Iglesias to your bullpen and maybe take a run at things. And look at how close that team got that year.
Yeah.
And how much of a difference he might have made. It's entirely possible, folks, that was the best Blue Jays team. When they had Semien, when they had Bichette, obviously they still have Bichette and Guerrero. It's entirely popular that was the best Blue Jays team. That's as good as it's going to get for Vladdy and Bo in this organization. And that's scary. They've had years to replicate that, and they haven't been able to do it.
Yep.
Let's take a break and come back and go back to your calls on the other side. 10-1, the Philadelphia Phillies have filleted the Toronto Blue Jays, the first of two games. Do not forget, tomorrow is a 1:05 first pitch. Barker and Blair will be on Blue Jays Talk following the game on TV and radio. But we got a few more calls to get to before we turn the page in this particular game, and we will do that when we come back. This is Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Guys are grinding, man. You know, if guys weren't working their asses off and trying to get better and get out of this, you know, you'd be a little bit, you know, more frustrated than you are. But the mood is fine. You know, it comes down to players in certain moments having really good at-bats or making really big pitches or making good plays on defense. That's what it comes down to. And, you know, we can all look ourselves in the face and say that we're not doing that right now. Not for a lack of prep, not for a lack of effort. We just got to get better in those spots.
Well, I mean, I will say that I'm never going to come on and say the guys aren't working hard or guys don't care or anything like that. I mean, you just don't know. They're professional athletes. I don't think guys are necessarily wired that way. It's entirely possible they're just not good enough. And that's it.
Sure looks that way. It ain't lack of effort. They're trying. I've seen
it. They're trying, and you know, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, Bo doesn't look like he, yeah, Bo doesn't look
how
like
would you
he
look
cares.
If you were hitting 190?
Yeah, you know what I would be doing? I'd be getting off the field as fast as I could if I'm hitting 190. I don't want to pitch a fit because that's embarrassing. I want to get the hell off the field and get back to the dugout. I'm not going to start pitching a fit especially if I've been hitting 190 all year. Like if I'm in a 0-for-30 slump or something like that, and then maybe I'm going to fire my helmet a bit or fire my helmet around or, you know, punch a garbage can or something like that. I don't know why the garbage can came to my head today. But anyhow, punch a garbage can or something like that. But not when I basically stunk all year. Chris in Stony Creek. What's up, Chris?
Chris.
Guys, how are you guys?
We're doing well, Chris. Been a while. What have you been up to? Hey, buddy.
You know what? I got to be honest with you, bro. When I heard you guys were on after the game at 1 tomorrow, I was like, poor guys, man. They have to deal with this twice in less than 24 hours, man. Poor guys.
You wait till you see what I'm wearing. I got a hazmat suit I'm going to wear tomorrow.
Okay, listen. I got to go along the same vein. You know me, Jeff. I've been calling for a long time. We've been talking about the Blue Jays for a long time, okay? I'm going to take this from a topographical view, which is obviously along the same vein everybody else is, okay? If I'm ownership for the Toronto Blue Jays, I'm looking at the pitching staff and the defense he's put together, Atkins, obviously, and you have to give him a thumbs up, okay? There's a whole bunch, Barrios and Gausman and, you know, bringing Kikuchi over, great, okay? So he deserves some stars there. But this is the question that I would love to hear the answer to, because it kind of undoes the other one. I don't understand for the life of me how he could have thought that trading away Teo, Lourdes Gurriel Jr., Gabriel Moreno, and now let's be straight, Gabriel Moreno, when he traded him away, was not the Gabriel Moreno was hitting a bunch of home runs for Arizona, okay? But he was still, you know, he was still touted as an athletic catcher who could make good contact. He would hit for a decent average, but he had power, okay? Okay, so that's what was said about him coming up. So I don't understand how trading away those guys and putting a lineup with Springer, Bo, Vladdy, and then Varsho, because he traded for Varsho. Varsho was supposed to come back in the deal. He was supposed to get in there, and he was supposed to be obviously this left-handed bat who didn't hit for good average, but he had lots of power. I don't understand how, for the life of me, that's supposed to average 4.5 to 5 runs a game. Because if you look at baseball statistically, teams that average between 4.5 to 5 runs a game, they win a lot of games. Teams that average around 3.5 runs a game, they lose a crap ton of games, and it's only 1 to 1.25 runs. So I have to be honest with you, from a management perspective or an ownership perspective, I'd love to hear him explain that to me and then fill it in with who? Kiermaier and Turner. I mean, God love Turner. Okay, great. But Turner and kind of Falefa and Witt, Witt and stuff like that, you know, and Kevin Biggio. Sure, but I don't understand how those guys are going to give you 5 runs a game. I don't understand. Yeah. And then to answer your other question, I do not trust Roth Atkins to rebuild my team. I'm sorry.
Chris, appreciate the call. A lot there. We're right up against the clock here. You know, I am going to say this. You know, Kevin, I've come on and I've said, hey, at the time the Varsho deal was made, I said I could understand why it was being made. I'm not going to go back on that. I'm not the type of person that says I like a trade when it's made and then when it doesn't turn out, say it sucks. But I will say this. One of the things an organization is supposed to do is it's supposed to know its own players. They're supposed to know what they had in Gabriel Moreno. And they clearly either, one, undervalued him, or two, liked Alejandro Kirk better. To me, that's what it comes down to.
Jeff, I just don't understand why they threw in Lourdes Gurriel Jr. Okay, if you want to go straight up with the Varsho and the Moreno thing, absolutely.
Maybe Arizona doesn't make the deal unless they get Gurriel.
Sounded to me like Lourdes is sort of a throw in. I just don't understand that part. You figure it out not to give up a guy who can hit good pitching. You can't give them up. You can't give all of them up. Yeah. One or two of them, maybe. All of them?
Anyhow, we get to do it again tomorrow. 105 first pitch from Philly. Blue Jays talk will be on following the game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet. So 10-1, the Blue Jays lose to the Philadelphia Phillies tonight. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Elmwood and Owen Sound. I love Owen Sound. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. Canada's number one rust protection.